The reading this morning was from 1 Corinthians. And we must understand when we read in the book of 1 Corinthians that there's a big problem with the Corinthian church. A big spiritual problem with the Corinthian church. And if you were to say, well, what exactly is the problem? The answer in part would be that some, at least, of those professing to be Christians were confusing real spirituality with being worldly wise, with the wisdom of this present evil age. There was in the church at Corinth, when Paul wrote this epistle, an infatuation with the world's wisdom, an infatuation with the philosophies of the world, and even with the showy oratory displays that were common in that culture. And it is apparent that some believers in that church thought that those kind of things surpassed the wisdom of the gospel. They thought that some higher forms of worldly wisdom could be achieved that would make them spiritual and make them superior to others. Paul is arguing here that God's plan of redemption, God's revelation about himself, God's being, God's ways, God's works, all of those things speak of a wisdom far greater than our finite minds can comprehend. And more to the point, far greater than anything that our human minds could come up with. And Paul is saying that we get this wisdom, this gospel-centered wisdom, not by the ways of the world, not by our own finite abilities, but this wisdom comes to us as revelation. God reveals it to us. Spiritual life, being spiritual people, has a transcendent and Christ-like dimension. Put another way, it's not some higher level of wisdom that we achieve that makes us superior to others. We work at it and achieve it, and we arrive by our own abilities to some higher level of spirituality. Spirituality is not produced by the natural abilities of human beings. It's not attained by some elite group of people who can then use it to rule over others. To be spiritual means that one has received the work of the Spirit of God. One has been given a new heart. One has been given the presence of the Holy Spirit, who then reveals God and his wisdom. Please understand, when you read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians, that Paul is taking words like wisdom, knowledge, discernment, spirituality, maturity, and giving them their true meaning and correcting the distorted view of the very immature believers at Corinth. Paul is saying that their understanding of wisdom and knowledge and maturity and spirituality and discernment is all mixed up. And Paul is saying, no, spiritual maturity is all bound up in your knowledge of Christ. It's all about his redemptive work. And Paul is saying, and by the way, preaching is about focusing on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul is saying here, by the way, the Christian life is about God's glory being central, not ours. And so in the very first part of verse number 10 of chapter 2, which we read this morning, Paul is explaining that the hidden wisdom of God, which cannot be apprehended by the normal human channels of eyes, ears, heart, verse number 9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, Paul is saying that that which cannot be apprehended by these normal human channels, Paul says in verse number 10, these things God's revealed to us. These things come to believers through the Spirit of God. Not because we're clever, not because we're wise in our natural abilities. God opens up our hearts and minds and shows us these things. We get our knowledge of things of God through revelation, not through our own wisdom and learning. And we can thus be spiritual beings because of the Spirit of God and not because of our natural abilities. And so the second part of verse number 10 and the rest of this passage down through verse number 16 deals with the details of that truth. So let me say the truth again. The hidden wisdom of God, which cannot be apprehended by normal human channels like eyes, ears, heart, is revealed to believers through the Spirit of God. So these verses now speak to that issue of the revelation of God to human beings. And so I'm saying that the points I give you this morning really point to how spiritual life really works. How spiritual life really works. And the first point is this. The Spirit of God knows God fully. How am I going to know God? Well, the Spirit of God, who's going to tell us how to know God, can do a really good job because the Spirit of God knows God fully. The Spirit of God knows God fully. The second part of verse number 10 says, "For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." That's how he can reveal God, because he searches everything, even the deep things of God. Searches. The word itself refers to a careful and thorough investigation, but this is pictural language. This is just language trying to convey to us that the Spirit can give us a clear and perfect picture of God. Even the most deep things of God, the Spirit knows. Nothing is beyond his knowledge, is what this verse is saying. The deep things of God. Not talking about some mysterious things about our material universe. The deep things of God here are talking about God's love and graciousness, God's redemptive purposes, the deep things about the cross and God's glory and God's kingdom. That's what he means here. And we know that because look at chapter 1 and verse number 24. Chapter 1 and verse number 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And verse number 9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. That's what the Spirit of God shows us. Here's what God has done. Here's how God is going to bring you to glory. Here's the cross. Here's God's power. Here's God's wisdom. Verse 11, Paul explains this, how this can be, how the Spirit can know the deep things of God. this way. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, the only one who knows a person's thoughts, besides God knowing our thoughts, is that person. My spirit knows my thoughts because my spirit is the immaterial part of me. It's my soul, my intellect, my emotions, my will. It's my inner man. Read my mind. You can't do it. You can't read my mind. You can't know my thoughts. Sometimes my wife will say, I know what you're thinking. But it's just speculation. Even though sometimes it's very good speculation. But I always know what I'm thinking. Because I'm me. And that's how Paul is reasoning here. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God because the Spirit of God is God. And so the Spirit of God knows God, we would say, from an insider's perspective. He's God. He's the same essence or the same substance or the same being as the Father and the Son. There is only one God in three persons. And so the Spirit of God knows God fully and is thus able to show God to us. And so that's the first thing we have to understand about spirituality, that the Spirit of God who reveals God to us knows God fully. Number two, Paul says here, the Spirit of God, not earthly wisdom, brings believers to an understanding of the things of God. The Spirit of God, not earthly wisdom, brings believers to an understanding of the things of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Say, I want to know more about God. Well, there's only one way. And you can't. If you're a believer, because the Spirit has been given to you as a gift. Paul says, we've received the Spirit of God. And he's very quick in saying that to point out we've not received the Spirit of the world. The world of a believer, because of the new heart and the Spirit, and the world of this present evil age, are two very distinct things. A worldly worldview is wrong. And believers are able not to live in a fantasy world, but to live in the real world, the world God created, the world God sustains, and the world God rules over. And so Paul is contrasting here the cosmic or worldly spirit and the Spirit from God. He says, no, we've received the Spirit who is from God, not the spirit of the world. Earthly wisdom does not bring the deep things of Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit, because the Spirit knows God fully. Notice the words here in verse number 12. The Spirit who is from God. Some translations say the Spirit who is of God. The preposition in the Greek is just two letters, ek, E-K. And it indicates the Spirit from God, that the Spirit issues or proceeds from God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We believe in one God, but that one God is in three persons. The early church theologians spoke of the eternal procession of the Spirit from the Father and the Son, but the whole point of their language was to make sure people understood the Spirit is God Himself. And it's that Spirit that gives us the assurance of truth. Paul says we've been blessed here, given the blessed privilege of being given the presence of God's Spirit. And Paul tells us why, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The things given to us. Certainly a reference to the revelation which has been written down, given through prophetic and apostolic writings. The Spirit is given that we might understand the Word of God that we would not otherwise understand. So spirituality, we have to understand, first of all, the Spirit of God knows God fully, and secondly, that the Spirit of God brings us an understanding of the things of God. The third thing Paul says here is God delights to give his children knowledge of himself and his purposes. Note the words in verse number 12, that we might understand the things freely given us. Freely given translates one Greek word. And the word it translates is not just like given. It has a connotation behind it. It's a generous, gracious, willing giving. So in other words, we don't merit having the Word of God. We don't merit having the Spirit of God teaching us. But God delights in giving this. God wants us to know Him. He delights in revealing to His children who He is and what He does and what His purposes are. And He progressively has revealed it over time. And in our time, we have it in full. We have the full written revelation of God. And God delights that we have this. Listen to how Paul put it in Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." And Paul says, now this mystery has been made known, and Paul says, it's been given to me as an apostle to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God delights in giving us knowledge of Him. No wonder Paul prays in Ephesians 1 that God would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul goes on to write in Ephesians 1 that we might know the hope to which He's called us, and we might know the riches of His glorious inheritance. How God wants us to grow in these areas. How His Spirit grows us when we'll behold Christ's glory in all of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, "And we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The Spirit reveals the deep things of God to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me ask you some questions. Do you read the Scriptures? Do you desire to grow in your understanding of the Scriptures? Do you desire, when you read the Scriptures, to see the glory of Jesus as you read? Are you praying that God would show you more and more of that glory? Okay. First three points about spirituality. How we are spiritual. how we can be spiritual. First of all, the Spirit of God knows God fully. And then Paul says it's the Spirit of God who brings us to an understanding of the things of God, not earthly wisdom. And the third thing is that God delights to give his children knowledge of himself and his purposes. Number four, spiritual truth is taught by the Spirit to those born of the Spirit. Verse 13. And we impart this, now Paul's talking about the teachers, the apostles who first received it, and then it continues, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. We, Paul says, impart this, talking about those who teach New Covenant revelation. Paul says they impart God's wisdom in words not taught by worldly wisdom, taught by the Spirit. The historic process is like this. The Spirit filled the apostles. The apostles went out and preached the truth of God. And the Spirit also moved in the apostles and those closely associated with them to write it down in New Covenant revelation, the New Testament. God then called more teachers, and they taught it to some who were commissioned to teach it to others. And on down the line it goes. And God today gives teachers to teach his word. And God has blessed us in our day so that we have the privilege to have the word of God as individual believers. And Paul explains here how it's taught. It's a little tricky in the Greek. It says interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, if you have an ESV. If you use an NIV, it says expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. If you use the King James, it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The idea here is that God's truths are given, interpreted, if you will, these truths to people who are spiritually, people who are spiritual. That's the context here. The Spirit teaches those who have the Spirit. Spiritual truth is for those born of the Spirit. Spiritual truth is taught by God's Spirit, and it's taught to those who are born of the Spirit. Say, how do I be spiritual? We have to be born again. You have to be born from above, born of the Spirit. That's how to get gospel-wise. And by the way, let me just say this. Paul is not negating here practical human wisdom. Paul is not negating practical human wisdom. Practical human wisdom can be useful. Say, what do you mean? Change the oil in your car every so often. That's a good thing. Say, how do you know? Because one year I didn't do it and my car engine broke. Pay your bills on time. That's a good thing. Spend time with your family. That's a good thing. Paul's not negating practical human wisdom. Paul is saying here, a worldview without the revelation of God and the Spirit of God giving it to you is vastly different. A worldview without that is vastly different than a worldview that's given to us by God's Spirit. And Paul is saying, only those who have the Spirit working in them can have it. Only believers have understanding concerning the glorious truths of God's kingdom. Spiritual truth is taught by the Spirit to those born of the Spirit. Number five, how do I become a spiritual person? Number five, the natural human being is bound by an earthly perspective only. The natural human being is bound by an earthly perspective only. Verse number 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural human being. The natural man, the NIV paraphrases it, man without the Spirit. But this person without the new birth, that's what it's talking about. This person without God's Spirit does not accept the things of God. Person not born again. Natural in the sense they've experienced natural birth, but they've not experienced a new birth. Their perspective is bound. It's limited. It's limited by natural earthly life. They live on one level only, and that's the human level, the natural person. When it comes to spiritual things, they're like a deaf person trying to appreciate good music, or like a blind person trying to appreciate good art. Can't do it. This verse says four things about the natural person and the things of God. Number one, it says they don't accept them or receive them. But the word carries the sense of an acceptance or a reception, of welcoming, embracing, having a favorable attitude toward. The natural person doesn't welcome the things of God. And by the way, it can actually seem like some do for a time. Jesus talks about the sower who sows some seed on rocky ground, and the seed springs up, but only for a while. And Jesus says it withers away because it has no root. Over time, unbelievers who may have seemed like believers at one time, they fall away because they never had the real thing. They never had Christ. Second thing it says here about the natural person, the things of God, is the things of God are foolishness to him or her. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Then it says, number three, they can't understand them. He's not able to understand them. They don't make sense to the natural person. They're not relevant. There's no use trying to understand them. They're not important. And then Paul says, number four, because they're spiritually discerned, they have no real capability of discerning. Did you ever talk to an unbeliever about spiritual truth and get the feeling they didn't have a clue? Well, the truth is they don't have a clue, not really. Paul is saying here that in spiritual matters, people need to be born again. They're unable to truly examine spiritual things and see them as they are. The Spirit of God knows God fully. The Spirit of God in our earthly wisdom brings to believers an understanding of the things of God. God delights to give his children knowledge of himself and his purposes. Spiritual truth is taught by the Spirit to those born of the Spirit. The natural human being is bound by an earthly perspective only. And then lastly, Paul says, believers have the mind of Christ. Believers have the mind of Christ. Verse 15 and 16. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, for who has understanding, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Paul shifts here to the spiritual person. And by this he means, first of all, those who have a new nature, born of the Spirit. And secondly, those who have the presence of the Holy Spirit, not only born of the Spirit, but indwelt by the Spirit. And thirdly, he means those who incline themselves to pursue spiritual knowledge. In other words, every Christian should be this spiritual person. But you don't get too far into chapter 3 and you realize that the Corinthians were not acting like spiritual people at all. So Paul says, the spiritual person is able to judge all things. The NIV gets the sense here, make judgments about all things. The idea is that the spiritual human being can investigate matters, think about matters, contemplate matters through the Word of God, with a proper understanding, a proper interpretation of the Word of God that the Spirit gives, and come to understand concerning truth, spirituality, Jesus Christ, what's right, what's wrong. It's not that the spiritual person is naturally smarter than the natural person. It's the Spirit of God who equips the believer to be discerning through his word. And then Paul adds quickly, but he himself is to be judged by no one, meaning that an unspiritual person, a natural human being, is not able to properly judge the believer. They misjudge many times. But because they don't understand the things of God, they can't really understand the people of God. In other words, believers are an enigma to unbelievers, a puzzle to unbelievers. Can't figure them out. And then Paul gives this principle in verse number 16. He's quoting Isaiah 60:13, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? It would be utterly foolish to think that somebody could advise or impart wisdom to God, because God is all-knowing, all-wise. His knowledge and wisdom are infinitely above our own. Even the most knowledgeable and wise believer comes nowhere close to God's knowledge and wisdom. Comparing human knowledge, human believers and their knowledge and God's knowledge is a mistake. You have incomparable categories. So we must not think we can help God along. We can improve his word. We're dependent on God to reveal himself to us and to teach us. And Paul is saying for believers, this happens. So he says in verse number 16, we have the mind of Christ. Say, why are believers so different than unbelievers? Or should be? Because believers have the mind of Christ. Not fully, not perfectly, of course. But Paul's not saying we can understand all that Christ understands. But Paul is saying that the Spirit of God gives us an understanding through his word that we could never have otherwise. We have the mind of Christ. Let me say it this way. I think what Paul is saying here is we have the mind of Christ to the degree we know and understand the scriptures. And let me also caution that there's a lot of people who think they know and understand the scriptures, but twist them and misunderstand, and they in no way, shape, or form have the mind of Christ. But it's contained in the word of God. And as much as we know it, we possess the mind of Christ. So if you have a Bible, here it is. Here's the mind of Christ. It's in God's word. Paul is saying to this very immature group of people at Corinth that they ought to be spiritual if they have the Spirit of God. And he's saying, and if you're spiritual to any degree, it's because of God's Spirit revealing to you the deep things of God, the gospel, and it's not because of you. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, put away your proud attitudes. Stop your divisiveness. And pursue by the Spirit's working the glory of God as found in Jesus Christ. Let me spell out some applications. I'll close. Number one, you say, what am I supposed to get out of this? Well, number one, you ought to desire to be a great student of God's word. You ought to desire to be a great student of God's word. Not for the sake of learning, not for the sake of academics, but to know God. To know God. Number two, you have to pray and ask for the Spirit's guidance. That's the point. It's the Spirit who knows God, the Spirit who reveals God, the Spirit has revealed God in his word. So you have to say, Holy Spirit, illuminate me. Put the light on. Guide me. Help me. Give me understanding. Especially help me to see Christ. No matter where I'm reading in the scripture, help me to see Christ and your redemptive work and your glory and your greatness. Help me. And number three, so desire to be a great student, pray and ask for the Spirit's guidance. And then number three, you have to stay humble as you grow. Make sure you're getting the wisdom from God's word and God's giving it to you. Stay humble in the word of God. Make sure that it's God and his plan of redemption and so on that you're delighting in. Understand it's for his glory, not your own glory. That's what Paul is communicating to these Corinthians. That's what we can take away from the text for ourselves. And then let me just say a final word. If there's anyone here that's not a believer, if you're feeling a sense of the natural darkness you have that's lifting, if you're feeling that, well, that's the work of God's Spirit. God will give you an understanding of your need. And your need, if you're an unbeliever, is to recognize you're a sinner. And Jesus died on the cross for sin. And he rose again the third day. So that all who repent and believe in him can be forgiven of their sins and reconciled to God. Don't resist. But humbly receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So that you can know this God and spend eternity with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this new birth. We thank you that we're no longer natural men and women. We thank you for the Spirit. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for the Spirit guiding us in it, illuminating us. Lord, please keep this from making us proud people. Please help this to keep us humble. Please help us to seek to grow in your grace and the knowledge of Christ. And please help us constantly be in a dependent kind of prayer, knowing we need the Spirit to teach us, knowing we need your help and your guidance and direction. But grow us, Lord, that we might be moving from, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, from one degree of glory to another, more and more conformed to Christ. That we might more and more delight in you and more be light in a dark world. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.